written down the three shining things from the east. For all of us are practicing Buddhism, the three things, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, very, very important. No? Every time we do the chanting, we pay respect to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Talking about the history of the Buddha first. Last Monday was the full moon day of the fifth lunar month. So from that day, from last Monday, for 1 month until the until the full moon day of the sixth lunar month. This is the time when our historical Buddha practicing meditation before he attained enlightenment. He attained enlightenment on the full moon day of the sixth lunar month, full moon day of May. And also, he was born on the same occasion 35 years before he attained enlightenment. He was born on this occasion, the full moon day of the sixth lunar month. That's our Theravada tradition. We believe that. And also, for 45 years after his teaching all over India, he passed away when he was 80 on the full moon day of the sixth lunar month. So three occasions happened during the time of the Buddha. We take as the biggest or the holiest day of Buddhism in Theravada tradition, the Vesak. So I'd like to encourage all of you to practice good meditation and in this time, because the full moon day of the Vesak is coming soon. So you are not supposed to do anything bad during this time. You have to behave yourself, and at the same time you do your best to practice meditation, make your mind calm and peaceful, and so that you can understand the teaching better. Our Buddha, after enlightenment, he spent 45 years teaching Buddhism everywhere he went. Many people turned to him, listened to his Dhamma talk, and it became the tradition that all of them chant what they call the virtues of the Buddha, the praise of the Buddha. As you see, Ian has written on the board, "Iti piso pagawa arang sama samato." I like to see all of you. No? When you learn Buddhism, you must remember this. Savakato Bhagavata Dhammo, that's the Dhamma. And then Supatipanno Bhagavato Savasangho. Before attaining enlightenment, a practice that the six virtues for so many lives, no? Practicing generosity, practicing morality, practicing meditation, and practicing wisdom with his great effort and great patience. So when he come to the last life, he left the palace when he was 29 and practicing meditation for 6 years. And during this time, he didn't have a chance to give not much offering given to anyone, anybody, because he concentrate on his own practice. This time he make sure that his mind is calm and concentrated, and make sure that he attain enlightenment. So first he learned from the two teachers. He learned a great deal from them, but only good meditation, very profound, a very deep meditation, but it did not lead him to enlightenment, so he left. And then he tried what they call the self-mortification. But even that way did not help him at all. So he packed back to normal again, practicing what they call the beaten path, the beaten way, have more good what is called meditation, and on the full moon day of the sixth lunar month, he had a chance to be enlightened. So when we praise the Buddha, we always say Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjajana Sampanno. So in that you can see that the very first virtue that make a person become a Buddha is that he has to be far, no? Arahang means far away from the defilement. Put this way, we have this life, the body and the mind. So if you remove the four elements away, and then you remove the feeling away, the perceptions away, the mental activities away, the consciousness away, you have one left, what we call the knowing mind. Remember this one, huh? Because at the end of the day, the four elements have to go, and the feeling has to go, the perception has to go, mental activities have to go, the consciousness has to go. But the one that remains forever is what we call the citta, the knowing mind. So when we practice Buddhism, we have to remove what we call the defilement that causing trouble to this knowing mind. If you can't remove that, your mind cannot be shining, cannot have wisdom, cannot have good understanding, because the dark, whatever the darkness of greed, of hatred and delusion would block, would stop that mind from shining. So the Buddha himself, he practiced meditation. So when he has good meditation, of course, has the morality as the what you call as the foundation. He won't harm and hurt any living being. He won't cause trouble to anyone. That physically he's very good, verbally he's very good, and then he try his best to have good meditation. You see, when it comes to the good meditation, first the mind stays single, what you call concentrated on one thing. And then the chant is there, the mind become empty. So when it become concentrated on one thing, you're away from the what you call the negative thought. You are away from the unwholesome thought. So the Buddha is far from. So when he attain enlightenment, he's far away from lust. He's far away from greed. He's far away from anger, and he's far away from delusion. Or sometimes we translate Arahang as the destroyer, the one that destroyed the defilement. So all the defilements in the name of lust, greed, and hatred, and delusion has been destroyed by the Buddha. So this time we call the purity of the Buddha. The Buddha has three great virtues. First, purity. The second one, we can say compassion. The other is wisdom. Great purity, great compassion, and great wisdom. So Arahang represents the great purity of the Buddha. He stopped all kind of defilements, all kind of desire. So once there is no such things, the mind starts shining. You know. So this put this way: if you get angry with anyone, anybody, your mind is not shining. Your mind is not nice at all. Not nice at all. Not attractive, you know. But if you do anything good, you are kind to the people. You're doing something, offering something to the people, and very nice to the people. When they take your photo, you can see yourself looking very, very good. The face is shining out. The manner is very good. But if you have that greed, that anger, especially anger, make your mind very dark and your face black, not beautiful at all, you know. What they call long face sometimes. So not good. So you have to stop that. How to stop that? We are that at many levels. First is anything that bad, what they call the real rough one, you have to stop it. Don't do it, no. Don't do the bad thing. That killing, stealing and all that, the very rough, what they call negative things, very rough, very rude. It's not nice at all. It's not good at all. It's not wholesome at all. So you better stop that. Anything that against the five precepts, you stop that. This is what we call the first level of the practice. How you move away from the bad things. And then when you come to the meditation, what we call the circle level already, a very fine. We don't do anything wrong physically and verbally. We don't harm and hurt anyone, anybody, through our body or through our speech. But our mind always have some kind of distractions and worries, liking and disliking. How to stop it? There's no other way. You have to meditate. So if you repeat Amitabha, you do it again and again, over and over. One thing, word or thing and thought come first, and then the chant is there for your mind become empty. So once your mind become empty, you free yourself from the past, free yourself from the future, free yourself from liking and disliking. This how we move ourselves away from the bad thing in the very in the middle level. Then when you are practice more and more, when you come to the highest level, you let go of the attachment. Attachment to this body, attachment to any kind of happiness, any unpleasant feeling, or any perception, you let go. Mental activities, you let go. Consciousness, you let go. So that knowing mind stand, what they call bright and shining. And that, because of that, what they call the wisdom that arises from that can help you to understand what they call the full truth. So talking about the virtue of the Buddha first, you know, away from the defilements or ability to destroy all kind of defilement. This is what we call the arahant. So that arahant or arahat is the one who can destroy any kind of defilement. The one who move him away, completely away from the defilement. And then Samma Sambuddho, this one very important, fully enlightened by himself. So when it comes to the practice, you practice yourself, no? Until you come to the level of good meditation, and then what we call good wisdom, what we call in the level of insight, you let go the five aggregates. Or we can say, once you realize the full truth, what we call the first one, the suffering, the dukkha, once you understand that properly, you let go what we call the cause of the suffering, the attachment to this body and mind. What you call to attachment to this physical body or physical body and spiritual mind. That one of phenomena, once you let go that, you become enlightened by yourself. So in a way, we don't have much to do at all. What we're supposed to do when it comes to the good meditation is to see the truth. See the suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of suffering. Maybe not so positive as someone would say, but we use this knowing mind, see, to see what is the suffering itself. Old age, sickness and death happening to this body. In fact, we have the conventional word or conventional world, what we call the world of convention. We say this is my body, this is myself, this is me. But in fact it's not. You have to remove that convention, move it away. It's not you. You see as it is. Old age is not you. Remember, sickness is not you. Death is not you. is the process of the what you call of these four elements. It's happening. So you must make your knowing mind away or different from that four elements. See as it is or as they are. So when you see old age and sickness and death are not you, so that knowing mind stand clear, very calm and very peaceful. You are not getting old, you are not dying, you are not getting sick. So what happened? Happiness arise in you. So we have to understand this way. Otherwise, when we talk about the four truths, it won't be that nice, you know, not inspiring. So have to see as clear as possible. Come to the good meditation. Use your knowing mind to understand this. And the cause of the suffering come from the attachment to this body and mind. What you call here? Again, there's two things. The what you call the body is these four elements. The cetasika is the process of the mind. What you call the feeling, and then the perception, mental activities, and consciousness. And the citta, the knowing mind, is that another one. So you use and see this as something coming up and going away, not you. So in fact, the truth is that everything arises up, rising up, passing away. So it's just the phenomena. It's not you. So how you are in suffering? Why you are in suffering? Because your attachment to them. So one to understand that, oh, I'm happy all along. I'm dying, I'm okay. Because I'm not dying, you know. The body coming up and passing away. The truth is that, like our feeling, happy feeling, unhappy feeling, come and go. It's not you. If your property, if your position, you are able to look after it. You are able to keep it. But it's not you coming up and passing away. So you just use your knowing mind to understand this. This is how the Buddha attained enlightenment. And through not doing this, we do all sort of bad karma. The other day I talked to you about that. The Patijasamupada, no? Ignorance comes first. When you are ignorant, you don't know the truth, you do all sort of things. You are groping in the dark. So why you do all the wrong things against the moral, good moral conduct, against the peace of mind, against the good insight, because you are not knowing the truth. But when you understand, you have a wisdom. Whatever you do, always good. But in fact, in practice, you don't have to do anything. Not like in the level of meditation, not doing anything, just stay calm, you know, and concentrate, and then let go. So one let go, there's no means no attachment. So when there is no activities, no more bad karma. In fact, that the emptiness very helpful. You can stay from the cause of suffering in this level, but after some time you come back to normal life again. But the main one is the wisdom. The wisdom is very important. So the Buddha attained enlightenment through realizing these four truths. Once you have a good understanding or a good understanding of the suffering and let go of the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering appear on you. It's around the corner. And then what you are doing is walking along the path. So remove yourself away from the defilement, from the attachment, so that knowing mind is very bright and shining. In fact, I'd like to say more about this. This, all the what we have, even the Buddha exists or not, the Dhamma exists, okay? This is the wholesome Dhamma, unwholesome Dhamma, and neutral Dhamma, what they call Kusala Dhamma, Akusala Dhamma, and the neutral one, right in here, in everyone. So what you're supposed to do, stop the bad one, you know, do the good one, and that's it. Whether the Buddha right on earth or not, this exists, and all of us,
suppose you like to be a very good Buddhist. Oh, keep the precept, let go the bad one, bad action and the bad speech and the bad thought. What's going to happen? You're a very good Buddhist. So the Dhamma is in everyone. And then if you ignore the whole someone doing the wrong thing, hatred and anger, greed and all sort of kind of bad thing, delusion and ignorance, what's going to happen? Your beautiful mind is blocked by this thing. You are not good people. Right in there, there's something good but has been blocked. So depend on us. So Sovakato Bhagavata, the well said, is the teaching of the Buddha. He explained to us all of this. So it's our duty to get rid of the bad one and develop the good one. So the neutral one, like the body itself, come and go. This we don't have to worry, or just let go the attachment to the body, and there's no trouble. So the Buddha attained enlightenment perfectly by himself, you know, and then fully possessed of wisdom and excellent conduct. This one show you a great purity of the Buddha. This one is the great wisdom of the Buddha. Together with this one, Vijjayadharampanno, here is what we call the great wisdom. This one is the great purity. From Sukhato onward is the great compassion. You can see that? Like a Sukhato, once you are a good person, blessed with good conduct and good knowledge, what's going to happen? Wherever you go, a good man has come, a good lady has come. So when God is that person, you know, Sukhato, never cause trouble to anyone and anybody. Wherever they go for the happiness of all living beings, for themselves and all living beings. This is the way of the Buddha. So why he has to practice a lot of generosity to many living beings? This one is very important. As a leader, you like to have many friends to come or to be with or to help you, to support you. Never forget. First thing is that you must be a good person, very sincere and honest, and then good to all people. Share with them whatever you have, helping them in a way you can all the time. So they turn up to you. No? Like the big tree, many birds, small ones like to be in. Because the big tree has fruits, has a shade, so has a refuge. So the Buddha, because of his kindness, his generosity, and his good moral conduct, and his good meditation and good wisdom, wherever he went, he went for the happiness of all living beings. So that one, if you like to remember Sukhato, Sukhato. So make sure that when you go anywhere, any place, sitting in any corner, you are not cause trouble to yourself, not cause trouble to anyone. But suppose you don't do anything wrong physically and verbally, you have to make sure that you have a good thought. The thought is full of loving kindness and compassion, you know. Don't have bad thought towards anyone, anybody. Otherwise you are not Sukhato. So and then Lokavidu, this one, the knowing of the world. We can see this is the world, the physical world of us, this is the world. Have to understand, coming from the four elements, the earth, the water, the air, and the fire elements. And the outside world, you can see this planet or this solar system, the universe. You understand it properly. They are impermanent and changing. And you can understand this way too. That's the way of Buddhism. The whole thing, the moon and the sun follow the Buddha. Now, if there is no good people arriving on any planet, that planet would be like the Mercury, the Mars, Jupiter, Venus, like that. Even like the moon, nobody can live on it. But because of the good people, this kind of planet exists. So without good people, our planet will be like the Mars on the moon, on the Neptune, whatever. But because of the good people living around, then the Buddha arrived, and then the good people follow him. And also, not only that, when you like to see the world, you yourself see the negative and the positive in the mind. Okay? See the anger, hatred, delusion existing in the mind. See the negative existing in yourself. See the goodness in yourself. See the goodness in others. That you see the world. So once you understand that, when you have a very good meditation, you are not be easily carried away by greed and hatred, by liking and disliking. People get disturbed because they are sensitive. No good meditation, no mindfulness. They hear something, they jump up, you know, like to fight, you know, or say something. They come to their friends gossiping. Oh, they are very sensitive. They like to say something. But the good one, nerve. Make sure that this body of us and this mouth never do anything wrong. Make sure that this mind never think of anything wrong. That's the way of the good people. So once you understand ourselves, our own world, we understand the world of others. So happy not to be Buddhist. You understand your friends very well. The weak and the strong one, you understand them very well. How to treat them? There's no other way. You treat them with your metta, loving kindness, compassion, and sympathy, joy, and equanimity. But metta comes first. Every day, never forget, no? Send your metta. May all living beings be very happy. May such and such people, such and such person be very happy. Go into the one that against you. May they be very happy. So your anger will disappear. And then you can rectify those people. You can pacify them. You can calm them down through your kindness and compassion. So you are not supposed. And Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasara, the unexcelled or the, what you call the supreme trainer of tameable people. This how Buddhism survived until today. He comes to this world is not only for himself, but for all of all many living beings, for the deities and the human beings. If we cannot train anyone, anybody, our life, of course, we could be like the Pajeka Buddha. We can attain enlightenment ourselves, but did not help anyone to better or to what they call to establish the good teaching. But the Buddha, because of the good quality he has, he can train so many people. Buddhism survived until today because of this ability to train. You know why the Sarathi a person who trained a horse. The best in the past, the best animal is the horse that can win the war, you know. Not the elephant, but the horse. All the Islam or all the Mongols and all that win the war because of the horse. So whoever trained the horse, who are able to train the horse properly or can go to the war, that those people can win the war. Because the horse very, very good when it comes to the war. So he trained so many people. He lived only up to 80 years old, spent 45 years teaching Buddhism. Because of the trained people he have done, then Buddhism lasts until today. So if you yourself can train your friend, or as say you have family, you establish your family, if you are able to train your children, or that goodness would go for long, long time. That's very helpful. Without this ability, Buddhism would not survive. Happiness would not exist. Sattha Deva Munutsanang, this one, very special one, no? He cannot, he teach not only the human being, but he is the teacher of the deity. Not so many religious leader who can teach the deity, no? But in Buddhism, so many. The Buddha himself is the teacher of all the deva and the human beings. In Buddhism, those who attain enlightenment, many of them can teach the deva, the deity. So one, the special one, Ajahn Man in Thailand, he passed away a long time ago. When the deity came at night, he would know beforehand. So the good smell would come in the daytime. Anyone who has a good practice would smell that good smell, sweet smell. But the one who not so good in practice don't have any feeling, no smell at all. But the one that, today very sweet smell from somewhere, who have the incense stick? where is that flower? When you look around, you don't see the incense stick burn, don't see any flower. That means the deity is going to come. So, and then what telling the monk that the deity is going to come is that usually the monk will come to look, come to the teacher in the evening. Sometimes spend hours massaging him or listening to his talk. But in any day, when the deity come, he would ask that the disciple to leave early. And then, just after midnight, the light comes. So if you see the light somewhere, no? From nowhere, not from the moon, not from the star, not from somewhere, the light all over the place, come down to a certain spot, that means the deity come over there. So they see the light. The monk who happened to be close to him see the light coming, no? And then he spent hours with them, and then the light starts rising up again and disappear. Sometimes they come without telling him, just passing by and ask whether they can come to listen to his talk. He just talked to their disciples, and then when the deity comes, he his face down a bit and stay quiet for a while, and then he turned up to his disciples, "You better go, I have something to do." And some of the not knowledgeable disciples that don't like to go away easily, no? Like to hang around, no? Go, don't you know, I tell you to go, and then they go away, and then something going to happen here. So they look for the light to come not too far away in their own buddhi, opening the window, they see the light start coming, usually before or after the midnight. So he talked Dhamma to them, and then can help them. So this is what you call the teacher of the deity and the human being. So that ability, if you have no greed, no hatred, no delusion in your mind, some of you who have that good meditation or powerful meditation can communicate with the deity. And Buddha, the awakened one. Here, the one Buddha. Here he attained enlightenment by himself. But this one, he awakened other to follow, to understand what he had taught. So for all of us, we say this Buddha because he helped us. So many human beings, or the great majority, are in deep sleep, not awakened to the truth. The Buddha is the one who wake us up. So you better wake up. The truth is in you. If you get rid of the bad one, no, bit by bit, you are a very nice person, very good person. That's taught by the Buddha. So he, and then once we understand it, we take it seriously and we follow. And then the last one, Bhagavan, is that he shares his teachings with all human beings. So whatever has said by him become like the treasure that comes from his mouth. Oh, it's very helpful when you read the teaching of the Buddha in any level, whether a level of the sila, samadhi, or morality, or meditation. If you understand, oh, very, very inspiring. So we can say that our Buddha has three great virtues. Arahant is the great purity. Sambuddho and Vijjana Sampanno, this is great wisdom. From here onward is the great compassion of the Lord Buddha. So any person who is wise, a good person, always, so you make sure that you have a moral life so that you are away from the bad karma. So you understand what we call the full truth. The suffering, the cause of the suffering, it helps you to understand the suffering and the cause of the suffering. Once you move away from the cause of suffering, you come close to the end of the suffering. So all of us more or less have this virtue. Maybe our wisdom is not that great, but the Buddha has great wisdom. So you must have purity, at least you must have certain wisdom. And very important that you must have compassion to all other living beings. That is the way of the Buddha. So once you have this, and if this, everything is shining out for the happiness of all living beings. And then you can see that what the Buddha has taught us, well explained, you know. This is the Dhamma exists, whether the Buddha coming or not, this one always exists. But when once he taught, he makes sure that Sanditiko to be seen here and now. When he talked about the wholesome and unwholesome, you have to see yourself. See the good thing and the bad thing in yourself. Very important, no? This word literally means it holds its own virtue. It holds its own meaning. This wholesome Dhamma never become unwholesome. The unwholesome cannot become unwholesome. It stay like that all along. So when you practice the Dhamma will look after you. But if you don't practice, you are in trouble. So have to be sanditiko, see by yourself. So you cannot wait for anyone to practice for you. You have to practice yourself. This is the teaching. Akaliko, anytime, very helpful. Anytime, don't delay, you know. Don't delay in practice. Because if you do the bad thing going to create trouble. If you do the good thing would give you great benefit. Anytime, you practice meditation, kindness will come to you. You develop wisdom, you will come to the what is called that good realization of the truth. So any time, there's no not to delay. It's beyond time or timeless. What are called the teaching of the Buddha, because this exists. Whether the Buddha exists or not, this one exists. You have to see the truth. That the Buddha has seen the truth in himself. You, as a follower of the Buddha, have to see the truth yourself. Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipatiko, come, and this one, we can see that could be that this one, see here, see generosity, morality first, and then the first, a particle, invite yourself, your knowing mind, to see the truth. We can see with the eye, what they call the physical eye, and you can see the truth with the, what you call the, that spiritual eye, the Dhamma eye. That means you can see the truth through your eyes, physical eye, or see the truth through your good meditation and good wisdom. That you can see in yourself. No? Don't invite anyone in yet. Invite yourself, what you call, let your knowing mind come to know the truth yourself. So that's what you call a hypothetical. And everything taught by the Buddha always leading inward. Don't think of anyone yet. Make yourself enlightened first, or make yourself appreciate what he taught first. Make yourself practice first before anyone else. And then Pachatang Vedita Bowin is to be realized by each wise man by himself. So that means only the wise one can understand the teaching of the Buddha. Only your mind that away from distractions and worry, in a very good samadhi and very good wisdom, you can see what the Buddha can say. No stupid one, no chance. The stupid one can't understand. Pachatang Vedita Bowin. So you have to see by yourself. So very it inspiring that when it comes to this. No? Very inspiring. We have to practice. When you chant, you remember. No? So here to be seen is the level of seeing. No? See with the see physical eye, or see in the level of meditation, or see in the level of the inside. Come deeper and deeper, you can see. And here again, when you come to this one, we can see that all the Dhamma, what you call the four truths, is the Dhamma. All of us, whether Buddhist or not, you have the suffering and the cause of suffering. No chance to escape, whether you Islam or Christian. No chance. But the Buddhist one supposed to have four, you know. Or the good one, they can get rid of this. They have only the end of the suffering and the path leading to the end of suffering. So all of us, when you see the human being, so please understand them. They are human beings. They do the cause of the suffering for themselves. They then realize, no, not many people would tell us to see our own ourselves, our own age, sickness and death. No one, only the Buddha. So say, I like to repeat again, this is the life, you know, of us. And if you remove all this away, say you die, the four elements gone, and then you are feeling, your perception, mental activities, consciousness gone, what is left? Your knowing mind. So once you understand that, the one that's going to be with you forever is that knowing mind. So you make sure that knowing mind doing only the right thing, then you're happy forever. You never die. There's no departure, never die, because that knowing mind. But people suffer because of the ignorance. They think that this body is themselves. They claim this body as themselves. They claim the happiness as themselves. They claim suffering as themselves. That's because of they don't have good meditation. They don't have good insight. Once they have good meditation, they good insight, they know. The feeling stops. The calmness is there. What we call equanimity. A kind of very subtle peace inside us. That can last for a long time. And without attachment, you're happy forever. So this truth, all of us have this truth. So we have to make sure that we're understanding, the more we see the suffering, the more we move away from the attachment. Why we have to see? Because we move away from the attachment. See as it is, as they are. They are not us. They are the elements. They are not us. So you move yourself away, and then once you move yourself away, the way you do that, you stop the cause of suffering. Move yourself away, and then because you are away, the end of the suffering appear on you. And the way you do is the path what you call leading to the end of the suffering. So all of us have this truth exist in ourselves. So the stupid one don't have the wisdom. They don't understand the suffering. They don't understand the cause. So they make the cause of the suffering all the time. But the Buddhist, the very good one, stop the cause, understand the suffering, stop the cause, and then they walk on the path, what they call along the beaten path, the beaten way. Then when it comes to the practice, you can see this one, the Sankhya, no? This cannot, well, the Dhamma and the Buddha cannot be separate, because this Dhamma make the Buddha, okay? The knowing mind become enlightened because of this Dhamma, because of this Dhamma. So the one who practice on the path, we can see that Supatipanno Bhavato Sao Sangho. So the Buddha has practiced first, attained enlightenment, and then when he established Buddhism, there are community, there are people who follow his teaching. So very first requirement is Supatipanno. You must practice well, you know. Cannot be bad. You have to be good. Practice well. Well, what does it mean? Good practice means good behavior, good action, good speech, and good mind. This is what you call practice well. You do well with your speech, with your action, and with your thought. This is what we call su. Su means good. So you have to practice well. And then Ujjupatipanno, this one, straightforward. That means to the teaching taught by the Buddha, to the morality, meditation, and wisdom taught by the Buddha. To the point. Not move away. Go straight. The Ujjupatipanno. Ujju means straight, you know. So when practice straightforwardly, practice or straightly practice Ujjupatipanno. So Yaya Patipanno, this is called rightly practice. But this one is practice in order to attain that. Yaya means the inside. So that you can let go greed, you can let go anger and hatred. So they call the rightly practice. And Samiji Patipanno, this comes to the perfect one. So this one to said, if you have perfection of morality, perfection of meditation, perfection of wisdom, you complete the teaching of the Lord Buddha. So, the knowing mind is the one who does it. Stop the bad one, you know. So, do the good one. This is the way. And once we practice this well, what will happen to us? The four pair of people, that's on the high level, the Sotapanna, the stream enterer, once returner, Siddhitakami, Anakami, non-returner, and the Arahat, we become four. What happens? We are human beings like this. No, we are on the way to Sotapanna, we can say, you know. So if you do this well, you become the true disciple of the Lord Buddha. But if you talk about in detail, you have the eighth one. The one who are going to be Sotapanna and the one who arrived there already. So it's two. About Sotapatimakka, this one, and Sotapatimphala. That means you are on the way, like most of us, walking on the path to Sotapanna, to the first level. And then the Siddhitakka the same. On the way to, and the one who arrived already. And Anakami the same. And on the one who's going to leave the world of the pleasure behind, the one who can get rid of all lust and attachment to the sense of pleasure. So when they die, they never come back. And the supreme one is the Arahant. So this, what you call the four pairs of men and the eight pairs of persons. And then only when you are come to this one, then you get the reward. Okay? Ahunayo, worthy of gift. So, very important, no? And if you have a time to see any good man, any you do the best to approach or to do something, to give something, because that kind of gift offering would give you a great benefit in life. If you have a chance to see the Buddha, if you have a chance to see the enlightened Buddha, disciple of Buddha, oh, it's great. And then if you have a chance to give anything and listen to his Dhamma talk, that is great. So anything that you give to that child, then the way they do this. If you give to the animal, you have 100 million gifts to the cat and dog. To the person who are not really living a moral life, you have 1,000 million gifts. To the person who live moral life, 10,000. And if you have a chance to give to the enlightened one, Sotapanna onward, it's beyond any comparison. You're going to be enlightened in the future if you want to. But never forget, sir, may I live a happy life and achieve enlightenment. May I come through this kind of gift, may I come to the end of suffering. If you have that kind of wish, you really come to one day you come to the end of the suffering. Because you come to the right person who attained what is called the first or level of enlightenment or any level of enlightenment. So the gift given to them is great, and hospitality, if you have a chance to welcome them, it's great. And then if you Dakinayo is offering, say when you give them this one and any gift like the first one, but this one maybe the food, clothes, accommodation and medicine. But of course when it comes to the giving to the Buddhist monk, always have something to do with food, clothes, accommodation and medicine. And Antari Karaniyo, worthy of solicitation. So if you have a chance to pay respect to anyone, anybody, of course it's great. To the senior, to the one who in a high position and so on, advanced in age, you pay respect to them. Very good manner. You respect your father, your mother, very good. But once you have a chance to give respect to the enlightenment, it's so great. You're going to get something wonderful in your life. So you meet the Buddha, but you have a chance to see the enlightened one. And only the one who practices like this becomes what is called the supreme, like a field of merit. That means whatever people do to them, always get the great benefit. They never fail. If they follow the teaching or advice, they never fail. They always have a chance to be happy and prosperous, and one day come to the end of the suffering. So when it comes to the practice, this one, we add what is called something come up as a benefit. But the one that we are concentrating on is Supatipanno, Uyu Patipanno, Yaya Patipanno, Samiti, this is the one that we have to work on. We have to practice, make sure that we are good, we are straight to Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. We are doing the Samadhi in order to free ourselves from distractions and worry. We practice well in order to let go of the attachment. So once your mind is blessed with the good practice, and then what if the super gem is charging now? But if you don't practice, no chance. The darkness is not charging now. Only the good one. But it happened that Yan has put that three shining gems from the east. In the practice, the Buddha sits facing the east. So any country on the eastern side get a great benefit from the Lord Buddha, as far as Korea and Japan. So China on the eastern side, China, Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand, and Vietnam on the eastern side, and Burma on the eastern side, all these countries get a great benefit. But once we put this one, that means the Western world are on the back of the Buddha, coming to get a great benefit from the East. So why they're very slow? Very slow, because they are on the back. Very slow. And because of the war, actually, the Greek had arrived about 200-300 years after the Buddha passed away. The Greek came, and some of them left, have not returned, stay back, stay in India. Many of them have a chance to practice the teaching of the Buddha, but because of the war, because of the trouble, and then the Western world had no chance to enjoy what we call this, the teaching of the Lord Buddha. So in the practice, remember that the very important thing that we have is that knowing mind. Everyone, so why we are not supposed to harm and hurt any unity? Because we disturb, we disrupt, we destroy, we cause trouble to that knowing mind. That's what we call the Bodhicitta in Mahayana. No? The seed of enlightenment. That seed of enlightenment lowers us. But that seed of enlightenment can be long time in hell because of the darkness of greed, hatred, and ignorance. So make sure that we don't do anything wrong. When it comes to the practice of the Dhamma, just do the right thing. And then the good thing is that once we do the right thing, that very moment the mind doesn't do the wrong thing. The mind can work one thing at a time. So when the good thing gets stronger and stronger, the bad one gets weaker and weaker. So this is what we call it, the Dhamma, that very important that to be seen here and now by ourselves. Sannittiko akaliko. It happens anytime. Anytime you practice in the middle of the night, in the daytime, or early morning or early evening, anytime you can practice the teaching of the Buddha, and the great benefit can come out. Even many monks they practice in the forest. Of course, in the forest is a place where they gain and they get enlightenment. But even it comes to the city, if the mindfulness is alert on the time, they can attain enlightenment. So when it comes to the practice, if you see the world like this, there is that up and down, no? What is called the like gain and loss, love for our gain and loss, honor and insignificance, and then there are praise and blame, and happiness and suffering. Always what they call this kind of early eight worldly condition. Always happening. But if you are alright and always feel comfortable with the up one, and you are not happy with the down one, the negative one, you are not strong enough. Not strong enough. You must be able to stand still and calm in the middle of the bad words that's flying around, you know. You have to be like that. You get hurt, get harmed, get scolded by someone, somebody, you stay calm. So that means you win. But if you're happy, comfortable with the good one, very upset with the bad one, you're still a baby. Like the practice is not strong, because the baby
always like the good one. No? So take as a blessing in disguise. So it in practice, establish yourself in morality first and practice more meditation. But if you live a life of a lay person, make sure that you live a moral life and practice meditation from time to time. If you are serious with the meditation practice, oh, you will leave the world behind you. The world falls flat. Doesn't mean that much. Because the happiness of the mind, the calmness that arise inside, far more than anything you have. You see that, I tell you the truth, is that the world exists because of the six sense, the eyes, two ears, the nose, the tongue, and the body, and the mind itself. So the pleasure of the world comes to this one. So without this, the world, the pleasure doesn't exist. But when it comes to meditation, you close down. Close down the gate of the eyes, no? The door of the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body itself, close down. Because you concentrate on one thing. You are not even open your eye, not listening to anyone, just see the breath in, out of you. Put to on the tongue until your mind become very calm. That calmness, if you get again and again, is beyond anything you have on earth. Beyond anything. So why you can see that the one who practices the teaching of Buddha, very simple, very content, very happy, without anything else. So remember, no? In practice, if you like to do it seriously, always pay respect to the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. Remember that the Buddha has great three virtues, the purity, the compassion, and the great wisdom. And the Dhamma, we can say the wholesome, unwholesome, and the neutral one, what Kusala Dhamma, Akusala Dhamma, Abhyagata Dhamma, or the Dhamma is the full truth itself, the suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of suffering, and the path leading to the end of suffering. So it's our duty, and the duty of the Dhamma is that the what we call the thing that we have to do is this: see the Dhamma ourselves in any little taught by the Buddha. If we talk about generosity, we must do ourselves. Talk about morality, we must practice ourselves. If we talk about meditation, we have to practice ourselves. And only when our mind is wise enough, away from this defilement, then we can realize the truth. So what are we supposed to do? Supti panno, uyupati panno, jaya panno, samiti panno, working on this all the time. So one, the perfect is one, yadidang jatar, that comes afterwards. We don't have to worry, because once you have this one will follow you. So a good person would benefit everyone on earth, because he is or she is the supreme field of merit. For anyone, not talking about this, even a good person, a kind and generous person, compassionate person, is a reliable, is the one who has so many friends. So this is the work, what they call, of the mind, of the knowing mind. This something exists in our knowing mind already. So our duty to get rid of the bad one and look after the good one, and then you can be happy forever. So once you complete that, anything said by you, done by you, would be for the great benefit of all living beings. You are the great disciple of the Lord. So that's the thing. The end of the talk. If you have any questions to ask.
bit curious with the deity stuff.
Yes.
Like, why can't the monk teach both deity and man together?
They are unseen and unknown. It's only true that when the monk talk to in meditation, they don't say that in very good meditation, they don't say like a human being. You might hear I have no experience myself, but the good teacher talking to someone at night like that, but there's one who try to who wake up and see what's happening. No, he saw himself. Oh, the good people in wearing white listen to the teacher. They like to join, but the teacher, oh, don't you worry, please go to sleep and fall asleep. But I think he talked to the deity. It happened that he have a chance to see what's happening, but they are in a very high level, very subtle. No? So they can see. For us, we can't see that like that. But whatever you do, no, your action, your manner, your words that come from your mouth and anything that would be very different from the good one, very different from the bad one. Especially if you see that when you take a photo of a person who is angry, oh, not so nice, you know. I have seen some of the lady myself. Oh, when she is doing the right thing, oh, shining, huh? But when she get upset and thought, oh, ugly. this is like something that coming from the mind, no, from the mind. So it something inside is very very important. So why always without seeing anything, you feel that the good feeling, good heart goes everywhere. No? Like you get it from your teacher or from your parents. When you come to them, you have a very good feeling without saying anything. Very good because they have love and compassion from them. But when you come to certain people who are against you, you don't have that feeling. No? They don't like to see your face. So this for the deity, they're very fine, very subtle. No? So they depend on the Buddha. Even during the Buddha time, when he got very sick, and one of the monks doesn't know anything, just sit in front of the Buddha. He says, please go away. He's not blocking only the other monk, but so many deities who like to see the Buddha. So, but unseen and unknown by the monk, the deity all around. So there are, so don't forget, when you do anything wrong, you are against them. When you do anything right, you are praised by them. They love you, they like you. When you have good meditation, send your metta all around. That's what they call unlimited, that the song, no? That you play it all the time. Anika, Hundo, Avira, Hundo, Sabe, Satan, all that. That's very good. What they call the royal metta long in time. To everyone, to every corner, to all living beings, unlimited loving kindness. If you can do that every day, oh, great. Very good indeed. It helps. And then you see that you are not only good to your people, to your friends, but good to everyone. And if you know the chanting, the Pali, if you say it well and correctly, and send your afterwards you practice meditation, you send your metta out, they can feel it, the deity. So it helps. But you can't see yourself, but say many good people, no? I can tell you from Vietnam, many good people. That's what it's called, no? The pearl of Asia. So you have to behave yourself, no? Many. It is that set of one of that bring Buddhism, make Buddhism stronger, or it helps. So when it comes to the tsunami, less people die. And very so the one who practice is not everywhere. And some people I told some thing one from there, what is his name? He look after the monk, the forest monk very well, and he prays. I said that this is the one who, if he die, immediately the good teacher said he will go to the heaven. So you see it in the heaven has been secure already. Very good person, you know. Some people like that, very good. But I joke with him that get praised by many. Even myself, I see only the good thing from you. But deep inside, you have to see yourself. Oh, thank you, sir, thank you. If anything, I couldn't see. But you must know yourself. So he's practicing. So some people like that, all over the place. But some are in hell before they die. They are in hell already. So during the time of the Buddha, those who kill cow, one person is when he die, you know, that on that day, he's very hungry, and he scold his wife and went out and cut the tongue of the cow and give to his wife to cook, you know. And then he take the food, then his tongue come out and die, making noise like the cow that has great suffering. So that means this person goes to hell before he actually arriving there. So the mind can be very different. Some go to the heaven before they actually arrive there. Some always doing the good thing on earth for the benefit of others, but some only doing the wrong thing. But we have to understand this, because only the Buddha is the one who wake us up, you know. If we don't come to the teaching, no one wake us up, you know. We like to be in a deep sleep, happy with our delusion and ignorance, you know. But once the Buddha wake us up, we're very happy. The very important thing that we, all of us, have the seed of enlightenment, have something good already. We don't look after it. And then we do all the wrong thing, and then wish for happiness and prosperity. Oh, impossible. So if we remove bit by bit, the bad one, keep only the good one, we become great again. And let go on the anything that doesn't belong to us. So what you call the conventional world, the ultimate world. The ultimate one is the knowing mind. The conventional one is this body, the four elements. This is the conventional one, that's me, myself. So once you remove your ego that attached to this body, very, very good. And that mindfulness one is strong. When, how it works like this, if you practice, it helps. So you have angry or anger arising in you, or angry feeling, or greedy feeling arise in you first. Once you acknowledge that, this is the angry feeling, it goes away. You because you don't follow up. But if you follow up, oh no. So it stops when you look at it. Feel shy to face you, you know. So it stops. The greed itself stops. So you can sort of say, no, don't come to me. And this come to disturb us, causing trouble to us. So you have to see yourself. This is what we're going to invite you to see by yourself. That here and now. So actually the enlightenment is here. Great purity is here. Great wisdom is here. Great compassion is here. But we don't look after it. How sad, you know. This is the sad part. Something good, but we don't do. Something not good, we do it all the time. So very good. I always say that it even like exhibition. For me, it's excellent. You know, when I see it, excellent. But how many of us will come to appreciate this? Very few. The teaching of the Lord was always the case, always like that. Oh, so excellent, no? But not many people come to understand. But the bad way, oh, so many. Why is it our duty to look after Buddhism, to make Buddhism known to others? Even not the great majority, it's very good. Very helpful. Very helpful. Make people understand the law of the karma. Some people don't understand, like why say what happened. Some hard to understand, but for us, we see this way, like the tsunami and so on, the Japanese suffer. Of course, when we think of the karma, the Japanese are the warrior. They kill each other and then they unite the country. And then when they become modernized during the Meiji time, they turn to Shinto, Buddhism has been destroyed. And then introduce the merit monk. They force Korean to accept that when they invaded the Korea. No? When they in Nanjing, when they went to war with China, how many killed? A normal person who has good sense of wisdom would not do such things. Even like what happened in Libya, one of the French captains tell his friend, "You better watch out, no? When you shoot anybody, make sure that you don't do it to the people. They have wife, have husband, they have, you know, children. You make sure that you don't harm them." Oh, this sort of thing, oh, it's great for us. It's great heart and great mind, you know. But when you kill without discrimination, when there's someone go to war like the Japanese, they are the warriors. Worse than the German. No surrender. No surrender. They have to die the last person. So how many when they American invade? Thousand upon thousand. So the American have to think of other way, have to drop the bomb. Because there's no surrender from the Japanese. This is the Japanese character when they go to war or go on to the worldly side. So because of far away from the teaching of the Lord Buddha, they look after the temple very well. If it has been destroyed or burned by the fire, they make it new again. But the one who look after it is the married man who give all this land to his own children. And the Japanese monk drink sake, so I'm not sure whether they can observe even 5%. And not only that, they kill the big animal like the whale. You know. So when it comes to this, of course, it's the bad karma. But it could happen to anyone. Like in Thailand, those who live on the coastline, any country, they are living on the fishing. Many animals kill. So once in a while, the collective karma happens. So the big typhoon, a cyclone comes and destroy everything. So only the one who practice good can prevent all this. if there is no temple, no good temple in mainland China, no big statue, no good people practicing, I don't know what's going to happen. Now they're very clever, no? Because they have own statue and all that, people pay respect, and the new Guanyin Bodhisattva facing the sea. So, oh, it's hell. One is in Kamakura, the tsunami came in the long past, hit and destroyed the whole city, but the statue, the big statue of Kamakura stands until today. And then not far from Tokyo, on the eastern side, on the western side, huge statue of the Buddha, Amitabha Buddha. So Tokyo itself is shaking, but no building collapse. You know, I think many good people help. But along the coastline, the Sendai, and you see, because they live on the fishing, you know, and all this, so it could happen. Like a Phuket, talking about Phuket, tsunami hit. Because mining place, copper, silver, and many others, the mountain has been destroyed. So when they develop the country, become the good place for the bar and club and for all the hotel, and 100,000 of Western ladies in the bikinis. Oh, that not pleasing the deity, you know. So when the tsunami come, no way. Yeah. And not only that, a grandson of the king. This boy, because from his birth is not normal. So he died in that place with other people. So the karma, he is unfortunate person already, but of course he can swim and all that, but his brain is not too good. So the grandson of the king, the son of his daughter, died during the tsunami. And did I tell you about the English lady who died? And then she came to in dream to the Thai lady, asking her to look after the body. And please phone my mother, ask your husband to do that in England. And I die, telling her that I die, and you tell her that. In the dream, no, you look after I ask you to look after the funeral. So when she get up, she remember all that, no? And she told her husband, she said, no, okay, we can ring. If it's true, and then we can go on. And if not true, and then we can stop. That's a dream. So it's true, you know. She look after and do all the cremation and all that, and then after that she come, like, thank you for your kindness, come to the dream again, now I give you a lucky number. you go and buy whatever you will get it. So she got it. So that is the thing, you know, it's about the life of human being and the ghost and spirit taught by the Buddha is true. It's true. It's not what they call the illusion or delusion or something not true. You know? So we have to do the right thing. I told the people in Darwin that they have on a what you call anniversary of their cyclone that Brisbane could not escape, you know. But Darwin doesn't have the repeat. So we have the temple over there, ask them to do the chanting and practice meditation. Oh, I strongly believe in this, because if you have a good karma, you escape. At one time, I went over there. Because of strong wind, many trees fell down. But only the house got damaged. No one, hundreds of trees fell down, but no one died. That means the people have good karma. People behave themselves properly. So if we keep doing the good thing, we don't have any trouble. Yeah.
Are we allowed to pray spirits or other
than Buddha? Actually, to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha. So, and then for all others, we send our loving kindness, metta, to all of them. They don't have to pay respect to them. Even that there was a person who came to see the Buddha, and that time the king also came, but that man did not pay respect to the king because he is the Buddha. Then later on, without the Buddha, he paid respect. When he saw the king somewhere, he paid respect to the king. The king asked him, "Why you don't do that in front of the Buddha? Why you didn't do that to me?" He said, "Oh, you are a smaller king, you know." The Buddha is a bigger king. It's the tradition from the past. They never pay respect to the smaller king in front of the big king. Dhamma Raja, no? The king of the Dhamma. So why, when you are not with the Buddha, I always pay respect to you? Yes, that's true. I tell you the truth, you know. I can tell you, I have two attendants. I look after them since their childhood, you know. They always look after me. But one day, both of them went to see Venerable Sariputta. And they achieved something, I don't know what they achieved, the king said. Oh, every night they always talk to each other. Where the Buddha stay? Where is the Venerable Sariputta stay? And then they all pay respect to the Buddha and to Venerable Sariputta. And their head, when they sleep, turn in that direction. Sometimes they turn their feet to me. They say, more respect to the Buddha and Venerable Sariputta than me myself. I look after them since the childhood. Because, of course, I look after the body, but the heart and mind look after by the Buddha and the Venerable Sariputta. So this is our attitude to the greatest teacher. Mm-hmm. So always, where the Buddha? If not, so you make sure that you don't turn or you call your feet to the Buddha image, to the picture of the Buddha image. Always on your head direction, and the Dhamma book too. You know, don't put it on the floor. Put it somewhere. In your level or higher, that's the way we respect. Always, when you see the book not on the right place, you put it higher. Always like that. So don't have to pray to any ghost and spirit. Pray to the Buddha, to the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And when you think of the Buddha, think this way: what makes him a Buddha? He's a great three great virtues. So if we like to be his disciple, we have to do the same thing. Have great purity, great compassion, and great wisdom. And all these things is within us. It's the Dhamma. So the good one and not so good one, the neutral one, and what we call all the good one, it's about the full truth and all this, is right in here. So the Sangha is the one who practices. No other, it's ourselves. And the one who really practices is at that knowing mind, go along the teaching of the Lord Buddha every day. Your mind, they go into that direction every day, following up every day. Make sure that mind is sincere and honest, make sure that mind is compassionate, make sure that mind is wise. So that you are the Sangha. the one who follow the teaching of the Buddha. So when we put together all inside, the Buddha is in here, the Dhamma is in here, the Sangha is in here. You pay respect to the Buddha as if you pay respect to yourself. You pay respect to the Dhamma, you pay respect the good thing in yourself. You pay respect to the Sangha, you respect yourself. So the Buddha, the Dhamma is one. So you have a better quality, you know. Very, very good person when you think like this. Rosie has any question? No? Be good girl, no? Try to have the those who come from Indonesia, a lot of trouble, no? Make sure that there's good people living there because of the, what you call, that fall, departing. But that from on the right side goes to Japan, all that, no? So the other go to Sumatra and all that. So anything could happen. It's very unstable, what you call the down, what you call the continental crust, or what you call the mantle, something coming up. So anything could happen. So if we behave ourselves, we can stop that one. So Indonesia is one of the places. So if people don't behave themselves, they will be in trouble. So because soak, that's underneath. And then New Zealand, from the southern island right to the north, they are sitting on it. So very sad when I see that the church, big building coming down. I've been there myself. We nearly have the temple over there, but didn't have a chance, you know, not enough money. So I give up the idea. So I've been there myself. But oh, if we have, I don't know what happened. Even the restaurant owned by the Thai, the building collapsed. You saw from the paper, and the Thai people died there too. It's very sad. It's very peaceful in Kaishas, very peaceful city, very nice. But don't know the karma. Very, very sad. So Sydney so far, not too bad, you know. So far so good. We have to behave ourselves. No? The good one would help. The bad one won't help anyone. So many Buddhists in New South Wales, and they said that many Buddhists in Sydney is very helpful. And if they practice, I think many good, when it comes to the good people, not only Buddhists, but Islam, Christians, so many of them are very kind, very good people. Because they have the whole Sandhamma, you know. There's some good thing inside. But only the Buddha point out clearly to us and show the way out of the suffering. The other, they don't have a chance. They have good thing in there, in them, but they have some sort of delusion. They don't. So that's what we think of ourselves. So when we explain the teaching, the four truths, and then the dependent origination to the people, like that, how the mind works and so on. So good, you know. How Buddhism spread, what the Buddha taught us to do and all that. So good, so wonderful. But the good thing not appreciated by many people. But always happening in a good place, you know. When you see the geography, the land of the Buddha, you know, on this side of Himalaya, the valley of Ganges and of Sindhu, Brahmaputra, and all that, you know, is very fertile and easy to communicate, easy to go through, you know. And so many things, the plantation so good. But Himalaya, oh no, nothing. And beyond that, it's the cold, the snow, and beyond that is the desert. So Buddhism happened in a very good place. So it's still fertile still today. And then the country that practice Buddhism has been lucky all along. So, and because of this, you can see that, say, if you go to China, mainland China, for us the best is the temple, the Buddha image done by the good king from the past. You know. In Thailand, if you go, the Buddhist pilgrimage, you like to see, you know, the Buddha image, the temple, and so on. Oh, so nice when we see this, so beautiful, and come to our heart. You know. It's very helpful. But when we see the building and so on, oh, a lot of business going on, corruption and so on. We are dealing with the greed of the people. So not so good. So the one that who practice the teaching is the one that supporting the whole world. The one that bring peace and happiness to many people. So the good thing is last for a long of time, even though not appreciated by many. You go to Japan, you appreciate the temple. Beautiful. Old temple, beautiful. So nice. That lived by the good monk in the long past. Not a city. When you come to the heart of the city, oh no. Have you been to Japan? When you go to the city, the place and all that, you see that they more to the pleasure than the Western. The way they show all the pleasures and so on, when you walk through the street, you know yourself that Japanese are very low in that sense. So much pleasures, so negative, you know. So when it come to the good books and so on, less and less good books. All the something that not so good, something for the children to play, to read and all that, not nice. The cartoon and all that, you know. Or it's not the cartoon of the Buddha, you know. Oh, not so good. But we have to accept, you know, the karma of human being. If we can't help others, we have to help ourselves. Do our best to help ourselves. Be good people, always here on earth. Okay.